We're jumping into a new series today, and I am really, really excited. I literally woke up a few mornings ago out of a dead sleep. I mean, out of a dead sleep, and I thought I was saying it out loud. I thought I was preaching it out loud, but I was in my mind and in my spirit just preaching what I'm going to preach today and just feeling this fire in my bones, and I believe that God is up to something, and I'm a little bit fired up, really, all of 2021, and I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm stirred in my spirit for all I know that God wants to do, and I hope you recognize that God wants to do something, wants to do some powerful things, and some incredible things. So this new series is Jesus everywhere, because we need him everywhere. We need him to move and to work everywhere. And if you're around long at all, you know that week one of a new series for me generally is kind of me wrestling with the subject matter. I'm kind of coming to terms with the tension or coming to terms with the need. So today is going to be the 30,000 foot view of this subject. And then we're going to see the big picture, and then we're going to begin narrowing down and drilling down into the very needed practical and just seeing what it is and the ways that God wants to work for us. So yes, Jesus everywhere is broad, but Jesus in our home, Jesus on our job, and Jesus in our streets is coming the next few weeks, and you do not want to miss the month of February, because I believe the Lord is going to speak very powerfully to us. But I wonder today, do you know Jesus? Jesus, just Jesus. That is a complete sentence. What you see on the screen right now, Jesus, that is literally a complete sentence. Because when I think about the questions that people are asking, or when I consider the things that people are facing in 2021, or if we look at the needs that are challenging us and everyone in this room, beautiful, beautiful in-person crowd today. God bless you for being here. We'll happily set up more seats, and I'll set up more sections, and we can socially distance, and you can keep coming to church in person. We'll fill the house up, and we'll do it safely and securely. I love seeing people in the house of God, and people online, and all of us worshiping together. But when I see what is challenging us, and everyone is dealing with challenges, everyone dealing with their own set of issues and processing life at their own pace, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you may be facing, regardless of what you may be dealing with in your life, I want you to hear me today. Jesus is the answer. Put his name back on the screen for me, AV, if you don't mind. That is the answer. That is a complete sentence. No matter what you're dealing with, and no matter what you're facing, and no matter what you are going through, and no matter what you are feeling, no matter what kind of day this started out to be, or what kind of week you endured last week, Jesus is the answer. I'm going to say that because I don't know if we really are convinced of that. I don't know if we really believe that. We say, well, all right, Jesus and what? Jesus and who else? Jesus and what else? Because we're just not convinced that he is everything we need. Everything that we are looking for, or everything that we want. But I promise you, Jesus is the answer in your life. He's the answer. He's the answer. I want to proclaim it. I want to shout it. I want to declare it. I want to make sure this community knows it. I want to make sure this tri-county area knows it. I want to make sure Metro Atlanta knows it. I want to make sure the state of Georgia knows it. I want to make sure this southern, southeast region knows it. Jesus is the answer. Does anybody believe that with me? Just one or two people in the room. If you do, then I believe we've got something to work with. And not only is Jesus the answer, but Jesus is everywhere. Not only is he the answer, but he is everywhere. This is another truth about God. God is everywhere, like literally everywhere. There's no place that God is not. And there's no place that God is not God when he's there. And because he's always there, he's always God. Jesus is everywhere. Psalm 139, 7 and 8 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. So David is writing, he's saying, I can't physically go into heaven, but if I go somewhere that feels like heaven, I mean, if I have those victorious days, those blessed days, those perfect days, those days that when I lay my head on the pillow, I'm like, ah, that was a good day. That was heaven on earth. Whether I'm there or whether I'm having the complete opposite kind of day, and I'm saying this is what hell must feel like, because this is miserable, or everything is falling apart, or everything is breaking down, or everything is challenged, and everything is difficult. It doesn't matter if I'm in heaven or in hell. You are there. He is an omnipresent God. I know that's one of those theological, churchy terms, but let me teach for just a moment, because his omnipresence is one of the core characteristics of God. That means that he is present in all places at all times. You and I feel chaotic and pulled in every direction because we can only be in one place at one time. It's impossible for us to be at work and the school function for the kids. It's impossible for us to do the overtime on the weekend and be at the Little League game. It's impossible for us to be at church and sleep in at the same time. We're not omnipresent. We've got to decide where we're going to be. We've got to decide what time we're going to arrive. We have to decide what we are going to do, but not the Lord. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He fills all time and all space. But hear me, that's only powerful if you know it. I'm going to get there in just a moment. It's only powerful if you know it. Of course, he's in this room today. We're at church. But in a little while, you'll go back to your house, and he's going to be in the car when you climb into the car. He's going to ride with you all the way back to your house or back to your place to eat some lunch, or if you go to visit your mom or your kids or your grandbabies, he's going to be with you. And wherever you arrive in the next little while, he's going to be there as well. But it's only powerful when you know that. It's only powerful when you understand that. It's only powerful when you accept that and you receive that. Some of you trying to figure out where I'm going. I'm going to make it plain and help all of us with it. I'm going to end up in Acts 17 here in just a few moments, verse number 22. But let me give you some text context. Let me kind of give you some basis of understanding for what is happening before we begin to read our primary text today. Paul is preaching his way through Greece. He is establishing saints and churches throughout Europe. But it's very difficult. It's difficult because their nature is difficult. Still to this day, having traveled in European and Eastern European, European nations and countries, they are a very hard people. It's very difficult for churches to be established. Paul was meeting that and encountering that first, and he's going throughout Greece, and he is calling people to repentance and calling people to the foot of the cross. He's in Thessalonica, and there is a great revival among the Jewish people, but many were upset, and literally the Bible said they formed a mob and they started a riot. Formed mobs and started riots to keep Paul from preaching the gospel. They were attacking the homes of known believers in that day. And so Paul leaves Thessalonica because it is so dangerous, and he goes to another place called Berea. And the Bible said that the people of Berea were more open-minded and eagerly listened to Paul's message. But once those rioters and mob gang people heard that Paul had moved to Berea, they just traveled from Thessalonica to Berea. They followed Paul, and here they came with their riots, and here they came with their mob tactic, starting more trouble and causing more problems. Isn't it interesting that we're still dealing with riots and mobs in our nation? I'm not going to be political today, but I am going to be spiritual. Because it's interesting that the church is being quietened down, the church is being shut down, the church, I have friends in California, one acquaintance literally just won a case with the United States Supreme Court. Late Friday evening, a ruling came down saying that California could have church if they wanted to at 25% capacity. They're being fined by the thousands and thousands of dollars every single day if they meet or if they gather or do anything to worship. You can argue virus or any of that stuff. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm talking about understanding and knowing who God is. And here come these riots. Here come these mobs trying to shut down the move of God. They are disrupting, and people are being disrupted. I want to say this carefully. I want to teach this carefully because people from back home still watch and tune in and listen. But I pastored someone who was raised in the Church of Satan. I know you may think that's just a misnomer or something, but it is a real thing. It's a real thing, and they were raised in that environment. Their parents were very high up in that world, and the stories were unbelievable that were told. The testimony of deliverance and how God brought them out was incredible and amazing. But I was astounded to learn that one of the tactics they used, and specifically this individual who We had the privilege of pastoring a number of years. The way that they were used as a young person, as a teenager, up into their late teenage years, they would go to a church and they would play the role of first-time guest, and they would fill out the connection card and get the free gift and meet all of the people. They would play the role of newcomer coming. Man, we're excited to have you. This is great and this is wonderful, but it was all a trick. It was all a ploy because they were sent there to disrupt. That was their word. I was sent to disrupt, so I would let everyone trust me and get to know me, and then long about some Sunday, I would cause some trouble. I would just cause a mess. I would just wreak havoc, and all of a sudden, nobody was focusing on the word. They were focusing on the disruption. Nobody was worshiping. They were all paying attention to the disruption. And I kept hearing the Spirit of the Lord say to me, I woke myself up out of a dead sleep, or the Lord woke me up out of a dead sleep, and I could hear myself saying, do not be a disruptor in 2021, and do not be disrupted in 2021. I know the devil is busy. I know the devil is always trying to do whatever it is he can do to get us out of focus, to get us off track, to get us out of alignment and agreement with the word of God. But hear me, I am not going to be detoured. I'm not going to be delayed. I'm certainly not going to be disrupted. I'm on my way somewhere in God. I wonder if you're going to go with me in 2021. Don't be a disruptor and don't be disrupted. I know stuff gets talked about and said and, you know, all kind of little attitudes and things. I don't pay it any mind. Just let it go in one ear and out the other and say, no, I refuse to be disrupted. So they moved Paul again, and this time they took him to Athens. And they put him in a safe place and they said, Paul, you don't move. You stay right here. We're going back to Berea to get Timothy and Silas. We're going to get your help. You stay here. We'll be back in a couple of days, and then we'll keep moving. But the Bible said that in Acts 17 and verse 16, that while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols that he saw everywhere in the city. He was troubled by the idols. I mean, can we talk about the idols of today? No? All right, I'll move on. Paul is supposed to be sitting at this kitchen table just waiting on Timothy and Silas, his handlers, to come and make sure that he does everything by the rule book and keeps protocol in this new city. But Paul gets to looking out the window, and Paul starts wandering down the street, and Paul sees all of their idols, and he is so bothered by it. He is so concerned about it that Paul starts preaching on every street corner. Paul starts lifting his voice a little louder than the commerce of the marketplace. Paul starts preaching that Jesus is God. Paul starts preaching that Jesus should be Jesus everywhere, and that he should be allowed and worshiped and magnified no matter where I am. He is preaching. He's preaching on their streets. He's debating their culture, and he's declaring Jesus everywhere. In Acts 17 and verse 21, it's in parentheses for you. I think it's interesting. It said, it should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend their time discussing the latest ideas. You know why? Because their beliefs were rooted in the latest trends. It wasn't rooted in the ancient. It wasn't rooted in the tried and true. It wasn't established in the proven and the spiritual. It was whatever celebrity was saying it was cool. Whoever said this is the thing to do, that's what they chased after. That is what they gave their worship and their allegiance to. So we get to our text today, Acts 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. You see, Paul has been brought before the rulers of the day. He's been brought before the thinkers of the day. He's been brought before the political establishment of the day. He's been brought before all of the important people, the people that make the decisions, the people that have the power to make you or break you. Paul has been brought before them, and he addressed them as follows. Before I tell you what Paul said, I want you to understand today that Paul is sold out to Jesus. He's not swayed by popularity. He's not moved by politics. Paul is sold out to Jesus. He knows that whatever he says next could land him in prison, and ultimately it will one day. But that fear does not stop him, because Paul is sold out to Jesus. Let me ask you a question on this first Sunday of February 2021. Who are you sold out to? Who am I sold out to? Ah, Pastor Dale, you getting over in politics. No, we have been conditioned to think that everything that is said is political. Again, I'm not being political. I don't care. I'm not worried about any of that. I'm worried about the word of the Lord. I'm caught up in a move of the Holy Spirit. That is what matters. Paul is sold out to Jesus, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's going to die in prison, because Jesus everywhere is more important than anything in his life. And so he addresses them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. I saw your idols. I saw your relics. I saw the statues. I saw the various gods. But I didn't feel any power. You're religious, but it's not working for you. There are shrines and idols and relics, but there is no revival. There is no relationship. There is no power. He would say later that people had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. There was no power. Hear me, if it kills me, I refuse to lead a church, even attend a church, that has all of the forms of God, but has no power. I refuse to be a part of anything that's just going through the motions, that finds people that know how to play keyboard, somebody to beat a drum, or somebody to sing on the right note, and all of us just come together and clap on the two and the four, and sing a song here and there, and hear a little sermon that we amen once in a while, and then go home, back to our mess, back to our brokenness, back to our shame, back to our problems. No, I don't want just a form of godliness. I want the power of God that delivers, that sets free, that I want the kind of power that makes a difference in our lives. And I don't want to tell anybody's business. We got people sitting in this room that this week we're in hospitals and facing big questions and really challenging circumstances. X-rays are showing one thing. MRIs are showing one thing. CAT scans are showing one thing. We're going to do more tests, but we're also going to pray. And hear me, prayer was made. And they don't know how it happened, but after they did more tests, they said, we can't find the spot. We don't know where it went. We don't know what happened. I know what happened. Somebody decided to tap into the power. You probably haven't even met her yet. She was sitting right over here or right over here. She came to Discover Church just a couple of months ago, brand new to our church, brand new. And then all of a sudden, I know she travels around the world for her job, but I didn't see her for a couple of weeks, and I just didn't even have contact information for her personally. And I assumed that she was on a trip somewhere until a couple of Sundays ago. I looked back, and her husband, who had only met one time before, he'd only attended one time before, he may be in this room, and if he is, God bless you, sir. I'm not trying to tell your business, but please let me preach for just a moment, because the preached word of God will make a difference. But I saw him standing in the back of the church, and we don't even know one another. We just briefly met a few months ago, and he had big tears in his eyes, and he said, Pastor, I got some bad news. Christmas Eve, my wife had a stroke, and they're telling us that she's going to be a vegetable the rest of her life. What? You could have pushed me over with a feather. What are you talking about? This strong woman, this talented woman, this on-the-go woman, this mother, this COO of a company, this woman that's got it going on. What do you mean vegetable the rest of her life? And he said, I know. He said, I can't even get into the hospital room to see her. I can't even talk to her by way of tablet or Zoom or any of that, because all of their machines are broken. He said, all I can do is talk to her from speakerphone, and she can't even hear what I am saying. I said, man, please let me go to work. I started calling that hospital. I was calling every single day. I was talking to this administrator and that administrator and this charge nurse and that charge nurse, running into one brick wall after another. No one would allow me in the room. I'll sign whatever waiver you want me to sign. I'll suit up and wear whatever you want me to wear. Just give me 1 minute. I just need 1 minute. I just need 1 minute to say the name of Jesus in that IC room. All I need is 1 minute. She said, I'm sorry, Pastor, but they said no. I was sitting there in my chair just frustrated, aggravated. I don't like hearing the word no. She said, but I've already called the chaplain, and the chaplain's already been to see her and pray over her and sing with her. And I thought, I don't know this chaplain. I'm not trying to judge, but I don't know if he's got a form of godliness or if he has the power. And I'm telling you, as sure as I was sitting there in that chair, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, why do you have to go to the hospital room? Why don't you just send my word? I jumped up out of that seat and said, Lord, I declare your healing in her life. I declare a turnaround in her life. I declare a breakthrough. Why? Because I've got to be a part of a church where miracles happen. If you're our guest, please pardon me. Come back next Sunday. I'll sound like your favorite Baptist preacher, I promise. Just a little fired up. I've been texting her husband. I need an update. What's going on? Church Cares is trying to feed you. We're trying to get in touch with you. We want to help. 5 days go by. 7 days go by. 10 days go by. And all of a sudden, Friday, I get a text message. Pastor, I'm sorry. I'm overwhelmed with everything. Managing the house and the kids. But listen, she has started to come around. I didn't need to read anything else. You know why? Because I know who God is. He doesn't begin a work in your life that he's not faithful and just to complete it. He doesn't start something in your life that he's not intending to finish in your life. She has started to come around, is going to turn into a miracle. I declare it in Jesus' name. She started to come around, is going to be the same report of that little baby this week. We can't find a spot. We don't know how it happened. We don't know how the situation turned. I know how it turned. My God is more than enough. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? He said, I saw your shrines. And notice what he said. And one of them, verse 23, one of your altars had this inscription on it. To the unknown God. What is that? Who is that? Is that just in case we miss one? We got A to Z covered, but just in case we miss one, we established an altar to the unknown God. I'm not being political, but that same spirit that Paul encountered is the same spirit we're dealing with today. It's a man and a woman. I'm not judging that man. Not making fun of that man. I don't know what his party, I genuinely do not know what his party affiliation is. I don't care. What bothers me is that some preacher in his life, some pastor, some reverend, some bishop, somebody in this community is not declaring the word of the Lord. We're going to churches, but we don't know any Bible. We're going to church, but we don't know the word. We're going to church, but we don't know what we believe. It's just the unknown. It's just the what if. It's just, well, if it happens, it happens. I reject it. I rebuke it. I refuse it. It will not happen in Covington because somebody is going to stand on this book and declare, thus saith the Lord. You mean that organ works? I'm gonna hurt myself. Next week, Baptist, First Baptist, next week. I won't even move. I'll just stand right here next Sunday. Come. Paul said, this God. Let me read the whole verse so you don't miss this. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to the unknown, or to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. This God, the one you worship and do not even know. You see, let me present to some and introduce to others this God, because Jesus is everywhere. He's everywhere. Let me introduce. Have you ever had the opportunity to introduce Jesus to someone? not their preconceived ideas of him, but introduce him. There is nothing like it. Because he said, this God, listen, this is so powerful to me. This God whom you worship without knowing. How is that possible? How is it possible to worship a God you do not even know? Because Paul is telling them, while you're trying to reduce him down to just one of your gods, He is not just one of the gods. In fact, there are none beside him. He described himself as being jealous. I don't play this. I'm not competing with anybody else. You either want me or you don't. You got to be hot or cold. There is no lukewarm. I want you to worship me, but here they are reducing him down. But the truth is, people worship him and they do not even know it. I love it. I love it because atheists who profess to not believe in God at all, they worship and they don't even realize they worship. Those cursing his name, they give the glory to God. How? How do you worship without knowing? Let me tell you how. If you ever walk outside and say, man, it's a beautiful day, you just worship God. If you ever walk outside and hear a robin sing or a brook babble, you just gave God a praise. If you ever have appreciation for a cool breeze, if you woke up this morning and were thankful that there were no ice on the roads, but that the sun paved your way to church and just said, wow, what a beautiful day, you just gave God a praise. I don't know who you are that feels like you don't have a praise in your mouth. I don't know who you are that feels like you have no reason to worship. I've risen to tell you today that God is great and greatly to be praised. You can praise him, but it's even more powerful when you know why you're praising him. Atheists worship him. Those that curse his name worship him. If they ever visit the Grand Canyon and stand there in awe and wonder, they just worshiped him. They just gave him praise. Jesus said, even the rocks. Can I modernize that? Even those dumb as rocks. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Come next Sunday, I'll behave, but I've really put some pressure on myself next Sunday. Verse 24, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Because Jesus is a complete sentence. But here's the reality. We're unhappy with the world, so we're unhappy with God. I'll go a step further. Get unhappy about politics, and you get unhappy about God. Get unhappy in your marriage, and all of a sudden, it's God's fault. But you know what? If you ever realize that he is great and greatly to be praised regardless of everything, regardless of everything, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what you're dealing with, regardless of what you're carrying, if you just think about it, God is great no matter what. Do I have some stuff? Yes. Do I have some challenges? Absolutely. Are there some difficulties? Yes, there are. But you know what? My first thought is not about how difficult this is. My first word is not going to be a negative word. My first word is going to be, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the strength to carry this burden. Thank you for the wisdom to handle these questions. Thank you. Thank you for the joy that you woke me up with this morning. I just came to ask if anybody knows who God is today. If anybody realizes that Jesus is everywhere. And since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, been man-made temples. Paul is still talking to the council. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. It's interesting because Paul said, I see these shrines and these buildings and this stained glass and all of these artifacts and pieces of art and steeples and everything that you put on these buildings, calling it God. But he said he doesn't live in man-made temples. That doesn't mean, hear me, that doesn't mean that he does not come to buildings. He followed you here. He's not here because this is a church building. He's here because people who love him and worship him are in this building. And I'm old school enough to appreciate and respect the building. I appreciate that. I value all that. That's wonderful and great. Not demanding that. I'm not saying you got to take your hat off or you can't chew gum or whatever. I came up under all of those rules, and I understand it. My bent personally is probably in all of that, but Paul is saying it's not about the building. Because if you and I stop worshiping him, he'll leave. I've seen bars become churches and churches become bars. It's the people that praise him that make the difference. Whoo! I don't want to meddle. He said, from one man he created, verse 26, all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. I don't know who got out of line. I don't know who allowed Jonah to get on this boat. But hear me today. God is still in control. God is in control. Everybody keeps texting me, emailing me, sending YouTube clips of what the prophets are saying. You know what the prophets are saying? Everybody wants to know what the prophets are saying. You want to know? I want you to hear Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 12. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No. For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than the dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. They're teaching him up on that wing over there, your babies. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. We don't want to teach him that on Sunday and then all Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're talking about how bad it is and how we're not going to make it and how we're not going to survive. Man, change your attitude and realize. Go back to Sunday school. We'll check you in just like the kids. Go in there and learn them old songs again. That he's got the whole world in his hands. That somehow and some way, I don't have to like everything happening in the world. I don't have to agree with everything happening in the world. But if you think that's going to keep me from my worship, you got another thing coming. If you think I'm going to lose my faith over who's in the White House, you got another thing coming. Because I know who God is, and he is everywhere. some more prophecy. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold, or decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, that they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? That's what the prophet Isaiah asked. These words he gave before the world began. Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. So he asked, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name, because he has great power, because of his great power and incomparable strength. Not a single one is missing. I dare you to walk outside tonight, your backyard, your back porch, on one of the no good boring commercials of the Super Bowl. Just walk out and look up. You'll think you're focusing on one and try to look to its neighbor, and you're going to forget which one you were looking at. The Bible said that he knows them all and has them all named, and not one of them is missing. That's who God is. That's who he is. We prophesy a little more. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Do you know Jesus? You know him because he's everywhere. He's everywhere. We're going to get him in our homes, and we're going to get him on our jobs, and we're going to make sure he's in our streets. Don't miss a Sunday in February. But today, do you know Jesus? He said, back to Acts 17, verse 27, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. He is not far from any one of us. Because here's the truth, and I close. I have to stop waiting on God to hit me over the head, to show up some kind of way in my life that is unmistakable, when what I need to do is seek, feel, and find him. That's what Paul said. That was his purpose. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God, feel their way toward him, and find him. Why? Because he is not far from any one of us. He is not far from where you are right now. He is not far. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you are going through, he is not far from where you are right now. And he would close out his preaching before this high council, For in him we live and move and exist. Can I tell you the key today? The key today is being in him. That's the way knowing God works. It's not this game of hide and seek. I'm gonna try to do this, live this way, try this, get over in this, experience that. I'm gonna see if I can hide from God. And it's not the other way around either. It's not you chasing God and him hiding from you. Just get in here. Get in him, because it's in him that we live, move, and exist. And if you're not living today, if you're not moving today, progressing, maturing, becoming, maybe you're not in him. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this room. If you would. Jesus. Jesus. I exalt thee. Feel God in this room right now. I don't know if you need an altar today. I don't know if it's sliding off your couch at home, kneeling at the coffee table. I don't know if it's standing where you are in this room and lifting your hands as high as you can get them. I don't know if it's coming around the front of this church. I don't know how you respond. But the question today is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? You can know him today. You can know him in his power. You can know him in his suffering.